Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Now, when someone sends me a synopsis, I think, forget that. I go, yeah, whatever, as the Holy Spirit leads, like it all lumpets. But I must say that when it came, it so resonated with where my heart was at the moment. I'm even going to read it to you. And then at the end, you can check how far. I'm going to go the scenic route, but you'll see I come right back to it. And the synopsis is this. Jesus Christ came to seek, to save, and to serve. And being called a Christian means we are to do the same. Nothing we should do should be about us, but about being a servant to a greater cause. In order to succeed, we must totally get over ourselves. May I pray? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here together, Lord. Your body, your church, it is just amazing and it defies any powers of communication that we have. But Lord, today I come to you for power of communication. Holy Spirit, please anoint my lips, Lord, that I speak your word so that it's not about me and it's all about you. And Lord, may you prepare each heart here or listening at home or by whatever means, Lord. May that word, Lord, fall upon ground prepared by your Holy Spirit, received, Lord, so that it may transform each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Now I'm going to check the time because I can talk, all right? So be very warm. Are you sitting comfortably? That's good. Now, after all of that and asking God to keep me on focus and not to talk about myself. Sorry, Pastor Deji, but I'm not sorry really because I'm now going to talk about me. Isn't that the way? I love listening to Radio 4. Okay, I know none of you do because you just listen to Pollard's Hill Baptist Radio, don't you? Say yes, say yes. But if you didn't, you might be an oldie like me. You know, I'm sorry, I always liked Radio 4. I've kind of just grown into it. And I particularly like a certain show, I don't know if you know it, called Desert Island Discs. You know, it's good, isn't it? Desert Island Discs. It's so well known. It's been going on for years and years and years. But, you know, the premise of it is, for those of you who know, is that the guest is to imagine that they've been washed up on a desert island and they're allowed to take, I think it's 8 recordings with them and 1 luxury item. And in discussing those things, it reveals a great deal about the person being interviewed. You know, when we are pared down and we have to think about what it is that's important to us and then we have to talk about it, it is so revealing. And whenever I listen to it, I often think, if they asked me onto that show, you know, being so important and well-known, you know, megastar that I am, it might happen. What would I choose? What would I actually say was the item? I might say you're allowed to take the complete works of Shakespeare and the Bible with you. So that's, you got that anyway. So what would be the next thing that you would take with you? It's very revealing. What we count as valuable, what we value, our preferences, our priorities are incredibly revealing. And we know, do we not, that when our Lord comes back for us, we won't have the luxury of running back to catch something, because when we go, this is it. Let's read the first part of that scripture again. I don't know if it's going to throw you. I do love the title, by the way, but it would be helpful if we could have the scripture up there, but it doesn't matter if we can't. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. When I came here this morning, I had some kind of ideas in my head about the focus of what I was going to say. And this word pray was the focus. I was thinking, you know what, we need to be sober. We need to be alert. We need to pray. And I've met people who I know are people of prayer. What we do in public is such a reflection, is it not, of how we are at home. We don't come to church to pray. We come to church praying. And when we're here, we just do it together, don't we, my brother? Am I doing okay so far? They're not going to get me from behind, are they? I'm okay. Phew. Just remember, there are a lot of witnesses, okay? You'll have to answer for it. We come to church worshipping. And we can't just come and worship. We're talking about lifestyle. And listening, I'm back to Radio 4 again. It's starting to sound a bit like the gospel according to Radio 4. Please, don't. I'm joking there. There's a load of nonsense on there, believe you me. Puts me in a bad mood a lot of the time. So depressing. But there are some good things. And there was a good thing last week. I want to get this right. So I'm going to check my notes. The Bishop of York, Stephen Cottrell. Now, I don't want to misquote him, right? Because he is a fancy somebody, isn't he? And he's saying that, you know, this whole thing, we've got this idea with prayer. Oh, there he is. He says, we sometimes think that prayer is something we do. Right? We think it's an activity, something we say when we're in the prayer mode, we're in a prayer meeting, or we're in trouble. Right? We quickly do a prayer, which kind of is wrong to start with, because prayer is a conversation with God. It's two-way. And sometimes, as you know, we're so busy giving him earache with our lists, we don't take time to listen to what he's saying back to us. But this is what Stephen Cottrell had to say. He said that as we grow in him, our prayer life is moved and develops from an occasional event towards a whole life conversation with him. Isn't that beautiful? From an occasional event towards a whole life conversation with him. And in some ways, that stops us sort of whipping ourselves because we haven't been, I'm not going to get down on my knees. I can get there, but at my age, I have trouble getting back up again. Because we become prayerful, don't we? You know, we've got God with us the whole time. There's a time for intentional and there's a time for coming together corporately. But we get to that point where our heart is poured out to God in just about everything we do. It is our lifestyle. It's a holistic expression of who we are in God. It stops us feeling guilty that we haven't been on our knees 24/7 and helps us to realize we've been with God 24/7. Amen. You know, we're not there yet, but we are getting there. We're looking just that little bit more like him today than we did yesterday. And you know what, brothers and sisters, we're looking good. So, yeah. What do you mean? Are you saying I'm not looking good or something? But the end of all things, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind. If you read it in the New King James Version, it says, and be watchful in your prayers. You know, we are to be watchful. And so that you may pray. And this is the other thing. I told you it was in my mind to mention prayer. But as I sat there in that corner, right, minding my own business, I wasn't minding my own business. I was engaged, I promise you. I was loving it. And why I was loving being there and being here is because I was getting such a sense of love, God's love. You know, when we talk about God's love, talking about it's not enough. Reading about it is not enough. We know it's a cliche to say love is a verb, but just because it's a cliche does not mean it's not true. Love is something we do. And I was sensing that dynamic aspect, that lived out experience of his love. And just as I was thinking, I cry in church services. And I thought, no, I've got to hold myself together because they're expecting you to say something half sensible in a few moments, Angela. So just keep, you know, control it a bit. But I was getting such a sense in my spirit of the love of God that I wanted to cry. But I was controlling well. And then Rosalind got up and started talking about God's grace. And that song, Adam, Onyami Adam, God's grace, yeah. Oh, he is wonderful, yeah. I heard my Ghanaian sister surprised that Mitsi Chui, huh? God's grace. I got such a sense of his grace and his love. And that's what makes us stand out from anyone else, isn't it? Not because of us, it's not about us. It's who we are, but it's not about us. It's about who he is in us. Nobody, by any effort of the will, can be who God has made us to be. We cannot be by any strength we have within us. I know we're made in God's image, but there is nothing inherent that makes us who we are. It's all about him, depending on him. And verse 8 in our scripture says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And here it says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Let's face it, you need his strength, because some of our brothers and sisters, they might be quite challenging, mightn't they? But in his strength, we can do those acts of love. It's not just lip service, but we're living it. We are those people that God has called us to be. Hallelujah. And as long as we're in him, there is no failure. We are all winners. We're all victorious. Now, we come on. Just a little aside. I was thinking, oh, God's grace. How wonderful. And then, of course, we had our sister from Sierra Leone came up. And I thought, oh, my goodness, here's another link. We've got a charis. If you speak Greek, isn't it? Greek, it's charis, means charis is the Greek word for grace. So we've got God's grace. I can see some threads coming through here, can't you? You're not looking convinced, but come on. I'm a Radio 4 listener. I love stuff like that. Give me a break. I wanted to talk about this speaking, because it says that we should speak the very words of God, doesn't it? We should be speaking as the oracles of God. Now, praying has to come first. Sometimes we try to get close to God by doing stuff. That doesn't work. You've got to get things in the right order here. You have to start with prayer, spending time with our Lord. And you know, when you spend time with someone, you get up close to them, then you start to behave a little bit like them. You start to walk like them. You even start to smell like them. You know what I mean? We recognize that. We recognize that getting up close. I mean, this time of pandemic has made us think really quite deeply about that, being denied that getting close to each other physically. But when we get close spiritually to God, spiritually, we start to be like him. I like to say a little bit of him rubs off on us. Amen. And I said it with a little bit of humour at the start. We look like him, and we look more like him than we did yesterday. But it is actually true. It is incredibly serious. When we pray, we find we change. When we pray, when we spend time with God, we find ourselves liking the same things as he likes. We find ourselves driven to do the same things as he is driven to do. So when we are like him, why did he come to earth? He came to serve, I seem to remember. He came to serve. Now, when we're doing it from that place, we can do it and we can do it well. I mean, everything we're talking about today is his grace. Who is man that he is mindful of us? Why does he want to use us? Do you know, I'm not going to say why or why, God. I'm just going to say thank you, God. Use me. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Use each person in this place, I pray. A fresh anointing, oh God. A fresh flow of your Holy Spirit in every life, in every heart in this place, oh God, is what we require and what we desire. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So from a position of, I'm trying to see, I don't want to go too far up down the rabbit trail. All right, I've already been to Sierra Leone and to Ghana. Have you got anyone here from Botswana? Oh, shame. Not yet. Failure on your prayers, Sam, did you? If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Our confession. What is our confession? Sometimes you ask Christians, I'm sure nobody here, so what is it that you believe? And they're, and they're not, you know, they're a bit stuck about what to say. Well, I mean, in a nutshell, we believe that Jesus was born, Jesus died, he came and he died for our sins. He was dead, buried, but on the third day he rose again. And when we die and we're buried with him, we can rise with him. There's no shortcut, is there? We can't go straight to the resurrection. We've got to go through that nasty death bit. That's the confession of our hope. And our hope, you can see where I'm going. If you are really good church people, you heard me use that phrase, confession of our hope. Now, when you know which scripture I'm referring to, please feel free to shout it out, all right? Our God did come to give us a hope and a future. We are people who have a future. We are people who have a hope. Now, everything he does for us is because he doesn't want to harm us, but he wants to prosper us. That's not the one I want you to shout at, but I bet you all know your Deuteronomy 29, verse 11. Jeremiah, sorry, did I say Deuteronomy? Who said that? Somebody's awake, give them a sweetie. Our God, what is the confession? What is our confession? What do we believe? Because we really need to hold on to that confession, don't we? And we don't just need to hold on to it. We need to hold fast the confession of our hope. Wait for it. Without wavering. For he who promised... And where would I find that? In Deuteronomy? Where would I find that? Hebrews. And verse? Amen. You've trained them well. Now, it's quite interesting. The reason I've done a little bit of a detour into that is that's the connection that Pollard's Hill Baptist Church has with Emmanuel Baptist Church Thamesmead. That is also our verse for this year. And it is a verse that is full of so much meaning. I'm not going to preach on it now. But, you know, there you can pick on any area of it and you've got a whole series of sermons. Just how faithful God is enough, isn't it? Faithful and true. Hallelujah. That's my God. I'm backing him on the white horse. Oh, he's definitely the winner. But... I've been talking a lot about gambling even before this. I think you need to pray for me. I think there's some. The confession of our hope. When we speak, we should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And we need to know what we believe, or more to the point, what we believe, more than what we believe, but who we believe and who we believe in. We believe Jesus, and we know that we have been resurrected with him. We need to be stable in all our ways. We don't want to be like the double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways. We need to be anchored or we will drift. You know all that noise out there, all that distraction that's out there. If you are not anchored, you will drift. And I don't want us to be a whole load of drifters. I want us to be securely anchored, our feet firmly planted on the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, praise God. Our strength, our every resource, everything we have, anything we are that is worth having has come from the Father of lights. And always remember that he is perfect in all his ways. He never changes. Because he doesn't have to change. We need to be transformed. Because apart from myself in this room, there is not perfection. But you've got to admit, I wear it very well. Maybe my modesty needs working on, but my humility needs working on. It's all come from him. It says there is no, in the Old King James, it says there's no shadow of turning. Again, if you're like me and you like things like sundials and the like, it means that he is always like the noonday sun. He's always high in the sky. He's at the perfect point. There is no shadow of turning. He is always perfect. And you know what perfect means? Perfect. That's profound. We change. He doesn't need to. We are transformed. I loved it, my brother, when you read that scripture. I wasn't expecting you to read that scripture from Ephesians. And I had to have a quick another read of it because it just spoke into my spirit. We are being perfected. Maturity isn't about wearing a little seat in the memory foam of the chair, is it? You know, I mean, we've got churches where people think it's time served on the pew. Maturity is time spent on our knees. Maturity comes from time communing with our God, knowing that the time is short. Keep treating each moment of our lives as crucial. Each moment of our lives as though it's our last moment to give our best shot. Each moment where we turn up, and we turn up in our best attire, spiritually speaking. You know, where we want it. You know how a wedding is, how we are all scrubbed clean. You had a wedding here yesterday. The flowers are beautiful. Everything is might always be beautiful, but you give it a little bit of extra on a special occasion. May each moment be a special occasion in our hearts as we live our lives for our Almighty God. This is the God that is in you. This is the God that is effecting change in you. This is the God who is working through you. It may not be about you, it may be about him, but I tell you, in him, you are pretty amazing. He can do mighty deeds. And do you want to know why we need to know that it's not us? Because then we give him all the glory. We can't take any for ourselves in that verse. It's not our scheming. God, you do it this way. God, you do it that way. Or look at me. That church down the road is rubbish. Look how fantastic I'm doing things. Get over yourself, to use your pastor's words. Get over yourself. And I know why he sang that song, because we all know the joke, the parody of it. It's all about me, and if you would do things my way. We laugh, don't we? But how many times, oh Lord? And what's the other thing we like to do? Give him fleeces. Strike bargains with him. I'm not going to go into the theology of fleeces, okay? Because I know people have got amazing stories. But how many times do we strike up bargains with God? If you will do things my way, I will pay my tithes. Yeah? You know I'm speaking the truth, don't you? You know I'm speaking the truth. Oof. Now, I've left the scripture there. We have to hold fast the confession of our help, our... Where are we? I've lost it. I told you to put it up on there. It's your fault, not mine. So if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Christ Jesus. So I did go to Spurgeon's, it's true. And I was going to say there are 3 points there, but I resisted the temptation because I would have got Snickers from the back. But I am going to say, in conclusion, and do you know what that will mean? Absolutely nothing. The verse speaks for itself. The verse speaks for itself. When we realise who our resource is, when we accept that God is God, when we stop fighting that reality, when we get over ourselves, when we stop worrying what people think about us, when we're prepared to do the unthinkable. What do I mean by that? You know, challenge ourselves. If you gave £5 million last week, try 10 this week. I'm using money. We often get caught up on that. Can I tell you something? Money is the easiest thing to give. Right? Money is the easiest thing to give. And I really understand why God uses that as an example. It's easy to do that. But when you've got to go that extra mile with that person who is suffering, when you have to suffer with that person, now you're talking. That is sacrificial. When Jesus looked at those widow's mites, he wasn't looking at the metal that she put in that tray. Doesn't really need it, does he? He's God. But he was looking what she held back. And that lady held nothing back. When we hold nothing back, then God can fill us completely. May he make us vessels that he approves, vessels that he can use. May these vessels be emptied of all the rubbish and allow him to just fill us anew with his Holy Spirit. Not half full, not three quarters full, not 80% full, my maths was challenged there, but overflowing. That we are the people who, when we walk down the street, everyone we encounter is blessed, not by us, but by God in us. In all things, God may be praised through Christ Jesus. No more will it be, to me be the glory, great things I have done. I'm good, aren't I? So loved he the world that he gave. Right, it can go on, can't it? To him be the glory. That is such an old song. I wish I'd asked you to sing it at the start. I don't know all the words. To him be the glory. Great things he has done. To him be the glory. Great things he has done. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.